listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The Chicago Bears over the weekend declined the fifth-year rookie option on quarterback Mitch Trubisky. Would have paid him just under $25 million. But as it stands right now, Mitch Trubisky entering his final year as quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
Well, hold on a second, though. You're the one, and I say this sincerely, is they talked about the cornerback at the Bears, and here's the point I'm making. In theory, the year five is simply saying, hey, they're in the contract. The team has the ability at this point, with May 3rd being the deadline, so Sunday was the deadline, to say we have you now under contract in year five, and we are now obligated due to the contract to pay you X, right? In this case, 25 sticks. That's a lot of sticks for Mitch Trubisky. I'm not sure I'd pay him 25 for the rest of his career. I mean, seriously, Steve, if you were a team and that was the question, he'll never play for you again, or you have kind of like, you know, at Blockbuster back in the day, you could buy like lifetime rentals for like $299 or something. Would you want a lifetime of Trubisky for 25 mil?
No.
As a team owner.
Because I'm thinking a backup quarterback, $2 million a year, RJ. How many years is he going to be a backup quarterback? No, I don't want him.
Jonas, that's an interesting question. Do you want Mitch a career for 25?
Oh,
from here,
God.
From here.
If I could get 7 to 8 years out of him for $25 million, I'd take that.
A lot of ifs.
Yeah.
And in a way, the fact that that's a debate that we're really going, well, you know, is a sign that the Bears made probably the right decision. But the question is, what is the consequence of that decision? The idea of saying, well, they spent a number two pick and massive assets to trade up, and this is a blight on the front office, I think that's generally true. Blight might be strong, but it's a bad mark. But I like that they, you know, Michael Lombardi talks about, and there's technical terms for this in psychology and behavior theory, but in general, when you've got a big commitment to something, you want to see it through the best possible eyes, right? So when you're dating and you're in your 20s and there's a gal, let's say you're dating, if she's got her faults, you're probably going to see them pretty clearly. But now, one Saturday night in Cabo, it gets a little too excited. 9 months later, you have a bundle of joy. You're looking over, and whatever truth you saw, you don't want to see quite as much truth, probably, because sometimes that the bright light of the morning, in this analogy, can be, oh, that's a lot of truth. So what happens? They have a second kid. I mean, we know the story when it comes to romance. You see things the way you need to get through the day. A lot of, you know, when you have careers on the line and millions of dollars potentially of income, if you're the GM, it's hard to say, you know, companies deal with this. Do they take the write down? They buy a company. It doesn't work out. You know, do you take a $7 billion charge? Well, if you do, your stock's going to tank that day, that week, that month. But do you spend $9 billion instead of $7 for $2 billion more of let's delay the inevitable? And in a way, the Vietnam War was like that. They say that we knew we couldn't win based upon what we perceived as winning at the time, but we kept going. In this case, it's tragic. Lives are lost to keep perpetuating a myth that just will never be. And do you guys see it? And Jonas, I'll start with you, that ultimately, let's give the Bears credit. Instead of pushing this, kicking this can down the road, for $25 million, they could have 2 more years. They get this year and they get the year after. That's what the option's for, is 2021. For 25, that's a lot of money, but they could have not had, you know, faced their comeuppance, faced the mistake they made by spending money. Do you see it as courageous, or at least a strong decision to not continue the mistake.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done what Jacksonville did with Blake Bortles, where they doubled down on it and then tripled down on it, and they got it wrong. And now you look at Jacksonville, who went from 5 minutes away from a Super Bowl in New England to they're rebuilding and everybody's gone. So I give Ryan Pace credit for that, for identifying it. And also getting aggressive early on in the preseason, trading away a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles, a guy who was familiar with the system. So, yeah, I mean, you do give him some credit for that.
I got to tell you, that was very well said, because I think Jacksonville is a great analogy with Blake Bortles. And I also think that they laid the groundwork for this. Like you said, if they were making this decision, they didn't have a good quarter, or at least potentially a good quarterback on the team, then this would be a real problem. And if you look at this Bears front office, they've made a lot of good decisions other than this one. Fez, what do you think?
Yeah, I think economics 101, fixed costs, right? It doesn't matter that you paid through the nose to go ahead and get Trubisky. You just have to evaluate, how is he going to be going forward? And if he's not going to be a good fit, if he's not going to be a good quarterback, you got to make a move, similar to what the Rams did with Gurley. And I give them accolades, both those organizations, for dumping those players, realizing that they didn't have the value that they'd have to pay these guys.
Yeah, see, I would make the case with the Rams, they held out for about as long as they could, right? Do you think they had any real thought? I mean, if anything, Gurley was just as good at the end of last year as he was at the beginning. So it wasn't like he got worse. It was like they just weren't, you know, it didn't feel like they faced the reality. Now, again, maybe you could say, hey, the knees are a mysterious thing to some degree still, and maybe, who knew? Like, it'd be worth a year to see if it gets better. But I think with the Bears, and by the way, the concept sunk cost is exactly correct, though fixed costs are slightly different, is a sunk cost is you spent that money and you ain't getting it back. Now, do you want to spend more to try to act like that money was well spent? And it's hard in business to accept you made such a big mistake, but it's even harder if the public perception is going to double the whammy. It's not only you got to admit that's not going to pay off. In this case, Trubisky probably won't pay off. But now you got to take the heat from the public, too. And I wonder, does anyone have a real sense in Chicago how the response has been with the local fans?
The fans are fed up with Trubisky. Yeah.
So they're figuring, hey, you might have held on too long.
Yeah, they looked at it as... And what makes it worse is in the same draft, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes are doing what they're doing. So it's just a constant reminder of what you could have had and what you've got now. So the fact that they went out there and they made a move for Nick Foles, it makes them feel a little bit better. But I don't think anybody feels great about what could be an opportunity loss in a championship window, giving up two first-round picks for Khalil Mack and nothing to show for it because you lost that playoff game to Nick Foles in Chicago.
And especially with his play, I mean, he's obviously getting a lot of play, Foles is, from his playoff history, which has been amazing. I mean, you know, literally, when I have my theory of Super Bowl winners in the modern era, there's always got to be, there's Nick Foles, and there was a unified theory of the rest, right? You literally either have to have a cheap quarterback or a Hall of Famer. And the funny thing is, in a way, you could make the case because Carson Wentz was on his rookie deal. They had enough money to have a good backup quarterback. It's stretching. Right? He's the exception. And in a weird way, you could say you can't expect that exception to happen again. Or you could say he's the kind of guy that can pull it off, or he's the guy that can pull it off. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, the Chicago Bears declined the option on Mitch Trubisky's fifth-year rookie contract, and so that way he is not going to get the $24.8 million he would have been due had they picked it up. And so now the odds are in Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky to be the starter week one for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and this is a good jumping-off point into the Dallas Cowboys and Andy Dalton. But the final thought on this is, hey, that's a lot of money. The reason that they might have paid it was an open issue, was because the decision had to be made so early. The NFL said, we're not going to give you year four, which is Trubisky's coming up, to decide if you want year five at that price. So in a way, it's meant to be, you better really like them. And I think the league has evolved in a way where it feels like a rejection, where I think that's a messaging problem. It's very reasonable that you'd want Trubisky for, I don't want to say any number because it might seem goofy, but let's just say if you like Trubisky but didn't love him, 12 million year five, let's give him another year. To make it 24 million or 20, almost 25 or nothing, I think is a false choice. Though we haven't seen it yet where a quarterback comes back after that, after being rejected in year five. And thus, I do think this rejection, at least perceived, is going to have a major effect that maybe it doesn't need to have. But I don't know how the Bears get around it. And they made the decision knowing that that effect was going to happen. So this was pretty much them saying goodbye to Trubisky, though they got him on contract this year. But I think they're going to be disinclined about him starting. Thus, the odds have gone up where Foles is now minus 300 to be the starter week one. Jonas, as you said, I think the chance of Foles being a starter more games than Trubisky over the course of the year is astronomically higher than just week one because of COVID-19. So always know what you're betting. Fez, last word on this, then we're going to Andy Dalton. Do you, at minus 300, do you still like Foles? And did you take advantage of me giving the nation, quite frankly, I won't call it almost free money, but close. What do you think?
I got one tiny bet down on Foles, so thank you. And I think
That did not seem sincere at all.
It was. And at minus 300, RJ, I think it's an overreaction. Let's face it, did anyone
I'm sorry. What word did you try to say when you tried to say what you think it was?
An overreaction in the line.
Okay, an overreaction. So you might want to get that out. All right, I know. So you think what should the price be?
I think Foles should be about minus 220.
So he was minus 150 when we didn't know if his option was going to be picked up. And I think it was probably, it was 50-50 2 weeks ago, Joe. My sense was 2 weeks ago it fell 50-50. And then in the last week before Sunday, and Adam Schefter said, you know, they're kind of leaning against it.
Yeah.
Does that feel right?
That it probably, yeah.
So, Fez, I mean, really, the price was saying at 150 that about half the time they were going to have Trubisky for year five. So you think that hardly moves it at all to 170 or, you know, from 150 to 220?
I got to be honest, RJ, I thought on Friday that it was rather unlikely that they were going to pick this up on Trubisky.
Yeah, but you realize you have no idea, right? Like, how do you have any insight into the inner workings of the Bears? Because you went to Northwestern?
It just, $24 million looked like such a horrible business decision. I did not expect them to pick him up.
But do you realize that when you apply your thinking to NFL, where quite frankly, this is like the draft, where there's factors that you can't even fathom that they're considering, and your ability on the salary cap is pretty limited, wouldn't you say? Mine certainly is limited.
I have no salary cap knowledge or expertise.
So somehow you were so sure of what they were going to do in something that was really all about the salary cap.
And truth is, I wasn't sure. It just seemed like so much money for a quarterback.
It's a lot of money for you, Steve. It is. It's a lot. You sound like Archie Bunker sitting there saying, those guys up there running on the field are making too much money. It's like, it's a lot of money, but this is a multiple billion-dollar industry, right? So let's just say this. If there were odds on it 2 weeks ago, you could have gotten even money, right? Or minus 110 or whatever on the no. So I think after the reporting, you could say the odds were moving away from yes, and it ended up being that. But the idea that it was anything past 66%, like 2 out of 3, I think, is if you were a pessimist, that was probably it. So you think, but I guess here's the question. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, trying to correct Steve Fezzik, who's a professional batter. He's very good. All right, here's my question. What were the odds, like when the odds of this came out when they signed Foles, you had 1,000 chances to say, listen, I don't think they're going to pick up year five on Trubisky. I think that will make him kind of a lame duck. I think Foles is a great bet. Like, we talk for hours and hours to the world a week. Did you ever say that?
I actually said it back when Foles was minus 165, and then the odds on Foles dropped for a while, and I couldn't understand why.
Let's explain something. You didn't say it because they weren't going to pick up his fifth-year option.
Oh, yeah, I did not. I said it because I thought Foles was the much better quarterback.
Yeah, yes. So that's unrelated to this. What I'm saying is from the time where they thought the fifth-year option was probably likely. I mean, Jonas, you got a good feel of this as much as anyone I know. If I would have asked you the day after the Super Bowl, is what's the odds? And obviously it's a broad stroke. You're trying to put your mind back there. would you say that at worst it was 50-50 the fifth year is going to be picked up on Trubisky?
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah, because it's moved away from there.
Yeah.
But that would have been a big story at some point during these months of, let's be candid, without a lot of stories to talk about. The idea that Trubisky would be given up on effectively this, 3 years in, the number two pick in the draft, that's a big story. I did not hear that story. Did you?
No, and I think that when they made the decision and traded away the fourth-round pick to bring in Foles, I'd be fascinated to see what the odds jump on them picking up his fifth-year option would have been at
that
point.
So there wasn't any odds anywhere ever on the fifth-year option.
No.
Though, Steve, you remember the day or the day after the Foles signing, what was the opening number on who was going to start week one for the Bears?
Foles was minus 165, the favorite.
So initially it was like, this guy's better, minus 165, and you actually liked Foles as a bet there.
Yes.
At the time. But then it moved to where?
Foles dropped to minus 150.
Oh, so the drop was pretty modest.
Yeah, modest drop.
So if you would have been looking to play Foles, the best number you could have ever got was minus 150.
Yes.
Pretty much. Okay. And then... But that minus 150 was the case on Friday. So literally it was at its low point even after Schefter comes out with, hey, it looks like they're leaning against the option. And then the question is, well, would the option really matter? And we see that the market believes it very much matters because Foles is up to minus 300.
Yes.
All right. So to me, you know what story this tells to wrap up this topic? The most you can bet on bets like Will Foles start or whatever. So, Fez, if your only goal in life was to get down one limit bet in every place that you could get down what? Let me be optimistic here. Maybe $5,000 on this?
On this, on the Foles thing?
Yes. No, on next year's Super Bowl.
Maybe $1,500 at most.
So you're saying of all your outs, you've got 29 outs. They were like three places that had a nickel on it.
Yes.
Okay. So, Jonas, we've seen this with the other props we've done where it was such a good bet. There was a similar prop the next day. And I said, I'm not doing it. Because if they haven't moved this prop, they must know something I don't. I'm always scared. The market knows something I don't. So I try not to be greedy. Sometimes in these props, they're just asleep at the wheel. And that's why it looks like a lot of people were able to take advantage of once the news came out, they said, well, Jonas doesn't know what he's talking about. RJ's right. And boom, they were able to bet this even a couple hours later at minus 150, which now it's obviously, if you're betting minus 150 at something that's minus 300 a day later, you've got a good bet.
Because it felt like if you wanted to make the move should have been made after they traded for Nick Foles, and maybe nobody was paying attention to it because the fact that it was only sitting at 150, I'm surprised that more people maybe didn't get on it at that time. Maybe they just weren't paying attention.
To me, I'm surprised that it was minus 150 at the... Because if you trade for a guy, you got one guy you got a vested interest in.
Yeah.
Right, where all the sunk cost, some call it fixed cost issues, it's something that really was making a bad decision very possible, meaning there would be some outside influence that affected the Bears' decision. And that happens all the time. It's not just – in fact, that's the dream of business guys, that they can make the purely mathematical decision. Often there's political considerations, owners, family – I mean, imagine being with the Cowboys, right? A lot of those picks, I'm sure – it's what the old man thinks. You know, a lot of companies have the old man that isn't up. So to me, the fact that so much pointed to Trubisky and the fact that Foles was just had a disastrous season. I mean, you could make the case that Trubisky played better than Foles last year.
Yeah.
So now you got him coming in the new, and then you add in as soon as the COVID-19 starts up. The fact that it was still Foles minus 150, 160 at that point tells you how much the market doesn't like Trubisky, I think, more than anything, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think it stayed close because everything pointed against Foles. Last year's performance, the COVID-19, and all the vested interest in Trubisky not being a bust from the Bears. The fact that they've now designated him a bust effectively means they had no choice, I think.
And the fact that, and when you guys go behind the curtain on that stuff, I think it's fascinating. The fact that the bet was sitting there and people just weren't paying attention and they were too slow to the draw to move the line. And so people were able to get in for, you know, a couple of hours and get action in on that bet after the news was official and came out on Saturday. It's just funny how that works.
Yeah, I'm worried that a lot of people didn't take advantage because of what you said. I mean, when you were saying you thought the line was going to move the other way, I get it. But imagine if someone had never heard this show and thought we were just two voices. You weren't the Joe and I, you know, because you play the Joe really well.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
This is our last segment. Fez isn't on tomorrow. We're going to talk a ton of Jordan tomorrow. Let's get Fez's main take on the doc, and then we'll finish with Andy Dalton. Fez, you get the floor. Your one biggest takeaway from the 2 hours on The Last Dance.
By 1992, Jordan's level of fame was so demanding to him, it was mentally exhausting from the second he left his hotel room, RJ. He was just mobbed, accosted by fans and people. The man never had a moment to himself.
Yeah, and obviously it was a drain. And it's funny, his trainer in the book that he wrote, and it wasn't just about Jordan. He trained Kobe. He trained Barkley. And he said that Jordan was the one guy that, because to be that great, you had to be so detail-oriented, so obsessed with every decimal point, that once a player or a person like that in any field reaches the highest level, it can be like insanity because there's no reference. Like when Jordan was trying to be as good as Detroit, it made sense. He was saying, I was going to do more of this, more lifting, more this, more that. But then when you are at the very top and there's no one above you, but the only thing you have in your heart is to strive for more, it's like you're floating in space. And it's grand that you look down and see the earth below, right? You're in a place no one's ever been, but you're alone. And all you know is what got you there. But with no context, how do you keep worrying about every decimal point in perfection when there's nowhere really to go up? You're number one now. You're going to be number one no matter how you go. So in a way, him going to play baseball and have another pursuit, and that's coming up next week, in which he wasn't the best or close to it, it was centering for him. And then once he had a couple years, he's like, huh, maybe I'm not the best at basketball anymore. And then when he came back for those 20 games and they didn't win it, well, look out after that. He could have it again. And then in 98, after 3 years of winning it, it's like, where do you go from there? So it all makes sense. But that piece from his trainer about that lonesomeness at the top and there being no reference points, and that would drive you insane if you're so decimal oriented. That I've never heard before.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.